When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah, here we go. That's what we're waiting for. Come get on the dance floor, Alex.
Ooh.
It's time for a little Donna Summer starting things off on a Tuesday. Well rested, as you can tell by my enthusiasm for the opening number of Cover to Cover Tuesday. Donna Summer. I just heard it on my 70s on 7. As I was driving back from dropping my daughter off at school, and I said, let's go with this one. Donna Summer died young, 62 years ago. Born in Boston, died in Naples, Florida. Who hasn't? But you know, a huge disco era star. That's what she became. She became the queen of disco, Donna Summer. A lot of hits, this being one of them. Dim All the Lights. And the other reason I started with is because I recently watched. I happen to turn on the TV, which is rare these days. You know, I just don't only to. I only turn on the TV these days to turn on, you know, whatever Firebuds or Bluey or whatever I got to turn on. And then if I try to watch anything myself, my daughter will come in and go, just enough of this, but Bluey. So I have to just. There's no TV anymore for me. Unless she's dead asleep. Because even if she's asleep, she'll hear it and come in and say, turn on Bluey. So, but I did turn on the TV the other day, scrolling through Netflix. And you know, I don't know, seeing what's to watch. I really want to watch this documentary that I've been hearing about the, I remember it well. There was a Star Wars, I believe it was a Star Wars Christmas special. It was like a televised ABC. It goes back to the days of the things I love, you know, where they would just throw these specials on network television, ABC, CBS, NBC, and just real hokey, show businessy dance numbers and guest stars would come in, you know, and now what's that knock at the door? Hey, it's Paul Lynn. And Paul Lynn would come in and go, is Darth Vader here? You know, and he would make some joke and he'd leave and Vincent Price would stop by. And I mean, these were the days where TV for me was at its best. Most recently, I believe last night, I haven't watched it yet, but I'm excited to get in and watch it, is the Barry Manilow had his Christmas special on last night. It was on at 10 p.m. last night on NBC, which I thought was, I guess they're just like, let's toss it on. And
yeah.
We already bought it. Might as well. A Monday night at 10 p.m. is when they throw on Barry Manilow's Christmas special.
Mm-hmm.
Who watched? I couldn't imagine. But I've been reading some stories about how people were shocked by Barry Manilow's look. You know, there was I guess he's 80. Do we have a little of Barry Manilow discussing the Christmas special?
Yeah.
I think we do. Let's hear Barry talk about it.
I'm not telling you.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle
all the way.
Queen.
There he goes.
What I love about this Christmas show is that it's half of my pop songs and half new renditions of Christmas songs.
Now, let me explain this bit right here, what he's doing. He's pretending to play a clarinet.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, he pulls the clarinet out of his mouth, and it's still playing.
Mm-hmm.
So it turns out somebody else, it wasn't him.
Yeah.
And he just goes, makes a face like, uh-uh. And I guess somebody over at NBC believes that today's America is going to buy this bit. You know, like it's this. For me, a guy who loves this cheesy shit, I'm all in.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that my wife is still with me, because I brought her years ago. I don't even know if we were married yet. I brought her to Barry Manilow Christmas Live Christmas show, a very Barry Christmas at the Forum here in Los Angeles. Got the tickets on Groupon. And we went, we had good seats right up front. And my poor wife, who's many years younger than me, I mean, knows of Barry Manilow, knows of Copacabana, but doesn't know of the, you know, the Mandy's and the...
She doesn't know the deep cuts.
The deep cuts. And, you know, and he was doing the Christmas songs, but he's got, like I said, you hear the car running outside. Mm-hmm. That's how quickly he's moving through the hits.
Yeah.
He's out the door after a couple of hits and, you know, good night, no bullshit. And so I saw this show that he was doing live on NBC last night. I'm not sure if anybody watched it, but I'm excited. So anyway, back to Star Wars, was this documentary that I remember at the time. It was just like Star Wars was such a giant hit in 1977 they were releasing like spoof songs and everything. Was just Mad Magazine was doing Star Wars every week or however long they can, monthly, whenever they came out. And they were, so anyway, it's a documentary on how this came to be, because it's about as cheesy as it gets. It's like Chewbacca and Darth Vader singing and dancing. And I think like they got the stars. I think Harrison Ford and Mark Hamill and stuff came and did it.
Real quick.
Harrison Ford must have been dying.
But, yeah. 1978
Okay.
is the year. Mm-hmm. Star Wars Holiday Special.
Yeah.
What do you think IMDb and Rotten Tomatoes are?
Oh my God. I would have to say it's got to be like 25. Unless people are watching it for the kitsch factor. You
25
know?
Is on the Rotten Tomatoes. 2.1 for the IMDb.
Oh my God.
It does not look good
for
it.
Well, apparently it's so bad that they just made a documentary about how it happened. Mm-hmm. And I'm dying to watch it because it's everything that I love. So I have to watch that. Yeah. But anyway, I turned it on the other day to watch something. And of course... and this is the reason we started with Donna Summer. I've always had a fascination with Studio 54.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really know why. I've never been to Studio 54. I was too young to be a part of Studio 54. But something about it and that era in New York City appeals to me.
Mm-hmm.
The music, the people who went, the Mick Jaggers and Bianca Jaggers and... you know, and designers, like, you know, like...
the socialites.
Yeah, and Calvin Klein.
Yeah.
And then the gay people, you know, roller skating around. And
mm-hmm.
I just, all the era of it and the guys who ran it. And there's been movies made about it. There's been documentaries made about it. And it's just all fascinating. It's an era, a bygone era, as we like to say.
Mm-hmm.
And so I watched this documentary. And Donna Summer is featured in it a lot because she was... of that time, as is Bianca Jagger, who was Mick Jagger's wife for a short amount of time, but became more of like this social, you know, just a person who was in the papers. Now, bear in mind, all of this, as you guys are probably savvy enough to know, is long before any type of social media or anything like that. So it's like you only had like the gossip page of the newspaper to read, you know, Irma Bombeck or whatever would talk about who was at Studio 54 last night. That woman we play from time to time who works for the New York Post, Liz, what was her name? Cindy Adams.
Mm-hmm.
She was still around back then.
Yeah.
At that point, she was working with her husband, Joey Adams, and they would do a column on just celebrity signing. And Bianca Jagger famously like rode a horse into Studio 54 one time.
Right.
And it was always, what was that designer who was always there? Halston. That's it. Halston was always there. Halston was seen last night with John Travolta showed up. And that's when he was like 23. And it was like a famous Coke spoon, like a neon Coke spoon, like over the dance floor.
Yeah.
all of this is just fascinating to me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you'd see these people like Bianca Jagger and Brooke Shields was probably like 11, you know, back then. But there were no, you know, you didn't have all this Facebook and everybody, you know, I cannot believe it. They let Drew Barrymore in. She's 6 and she was drinking Cosmos, but it was wild, you know, and just gay. They hired like a lot of like really handsome gay staff members, young dudes, probably mm-hmm. all banging each other, you know, just wild times. And it's like one of those things where you just like, sorry, I missed it. Sorry, I missed that era. I'd love to. But I guess if you were at Studio 54, you got to be in your 60s and 70s now, you know?
Yeah.
So, and it's always interesting to me to see these people who were Twiggy and Bianca Jagger, and even like probably back then it was Cheryl Teagues, maybe early on, these beautiful women, Donna Summer, how they maintained any type of beauty in that era. You have to remember, this is a time when you just had to be genetically blessed.
Yeah.
Because there was no enhancements like there is today. Any of the stuff that, you know, the Botox and the Restylanes and all that, forget all that. That was not even close to happening yet. But there was no, wasn't even like a skincare routine. There was Ivory soap, wash your face and your hair, wash everything with just like the harshest of soaps. Just wash your face with Ivory soap. One soap choice, couple of shampoo choices, Prel. You know, wash your hair with Prel. I mean, there was no conditioners back then or anything.
Mm-hmm.
No, I mean, the stuff we have now just so you can get it at CVS to make yourself cute I would imagine like a Cheryl Teagues looks at this now and goes, well, fuck yeah, I could be Kim Kardashian too if I had all the shit she has, you know, a 9-step skincare routine. I wash my face with Ivory soap. Just let my hair dry now. I was out the doors at Studio 54 by midnight. No bullshit. But God bless Donna Summer and all of the beautiful women, Carly Simon, and on and on and on. The women of that era that were able to hold it all together with a bar of Ivory soap and a couple of squirts of Gina Tay, a couple of splashes of Gina Tay, putting some toxic cancer-causing powder on your parts, because you never know if Mick Jagger's gonna roll up in there and see if, you know, give you a wink.
Yeah.
So you got to get some powder up in your butt and stuff. You know. You don't know. Who knows what's gonna happen?
Yeah.
I don't think those were the days. People weren't doing the things people are doing now to each other's butts.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe, but you know, I wasn't of the era, so. Anyway, fascinating stuff. I would watch the documentary. It turns out as of halfway through it, I'm like, oh, I think I've seen this before. It's like an older documentary. But it's all, I love it. I love the era. And I was happy to have watched that. And that's why I wanted to share with you guys a little bit. We did say that we were going to make this episode kind of a end of the year wrap up. You know, biggest stories of 2023. And we will. But before we do all that, I came across a story that maybe some of you guys has read as well. That seems amazing to me. And it's about the, I don't know what he'd be considered. He's the head of the dynasty of the Hermes. We all know Hermes, the designer, ridiculously priced handbags and everything else, belts and all that shit. Hermes, you know, top of the line, thousands of dollars for their shoes and blah, blah, blah. He's 80 years old. His name is Nicholas, I want to say, Puech.
Yep.
Puech, P-U-E-C-H, however you pronounce that. He's a billionaire, and he's the scion of the iconic fashion dynasty Hermes. He's allegedly, now I'm gonna try and tell you this story in the best way I can, because there's a lot to it. It's a little bit complex, so stay with me. He's orchestrating a staggering succession saga, you know, like the movie, like the TV show Succession, that involves, okay, here's what he's planning on doing. He wants to adopt his 51-year-old gardener.
Okay.
He's unmarried without children, no shit, and plans to legally designate his former gardener and handyman from his modest Moroccan family as his rightful heir,
as reported by, he lives in Switzerland now. Anyway, this unorthodox move to pass on his immense wealth and real estate properties. Okay, here's what this guy stands to gain. He's going to adopt his gardener, and he's going to give him his entire fortune, which is $22 billion or something.
$220
billion. $22 billion. That's what the company's valued at.
Mm-hmm.
So this guy could stand to get $11.4 billion and like all of his properties, which he has all over the world. And this is basically, I guess, what they're saying is he's doing it to fuck over his family. And there's been, you know, the gardener is reportedly married. He's married to a Spanish woman. They have two children. And he stands to inherit a significant portion of his fortune, which includes acquiring substantial properties in Marrakesh, Morocco, and Switzerland, all worth about $5.9 million. A bitter rift emerged in 2014 when LVMH, a rival luxury conglomerate, acquired a substantial stake in Hermes, sparking an acrimonious battle with the family. This is right out of that show,
yeah.
You know, Succession. I mean, I love it. Fuchs' departure from the company amid this turmoil signaled an irreparable discord with his kin. So he decided, here's what I'm going to do. I love when these rich people decide to fuck over their family.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give everything to the dog.
Yeah.
And I'll give it all to the dog.
Yep.
Or just give it to charity or something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it's or always.
A 20-year-old wife none of you have ever met.
Right. Yeah. That's always good, too.
Yeah. That's
It's basically wasn't that the premise of a movie I love I should watch again to see if it holds up. And it goes back once again to a bygone era that I, Rain Man. I love that movie, Rain Man. I love it. And I don't know if it, like these days you couldn't make it anymore because, you know, Dustin Hoffman's playing like a special needs person.
Yeah.
And that wouldn't be allowed anymore. But it's such a great movie from what I remember. And it was back in the day when you could like release that type of movie.
Mm-hmm.
We were just smarter people back then where we had attention spans and stuff. And you could release like a drama like in the summer and it would be a hit. You know, it would be like a big hit, like $100 million hit.
Yeah.
Like it's not a comedy or a superhero movie. It's like a human drama. And anyway,
it's a movie about a rich kid trying to steal money from a disabled person.
Right, that's kind of what it was. Yeah. I mean, because in the beginning, they're brothers, right? He doesn't even know about them. And he goes in to see his parents were rich or something.
Mm-hmm.
And Tom Cruise goes in to see what he's been left. And they're like, no, they left everything to your brother. And he's like, brother, who? Who's this? And he goes, he got rose bushes or something.
Yeah.
And then he goes and finds, Dustin Hoffman, and he, you know, takes him on his road trip so he could try and steal, like you said, steal the money or get it somehow.
Yeah.
And it's a great, great movie. But I love these type of stories. And this one is just, I mean, in a world of shitty stories, every now and again, you get one like this, and you're like, oh, this is perfect. So reports suggest the requirements for such adoptions. See, now this will be difficult. I said legally, I don't think you can just adopt 51-year-old people and just to give them your fortune. There's got to be loopholes there. So they're saying that it might be a problem, but this guy will try and figure out a way. I mean, this is how Adam Sandler is not right now writing a script where he gets adopted and gets, you know, whatever.
He's a gardener.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this is all, it's primed for an Adam Sandler movie or Will Ferrell or somebody to be the 60-year-old guy who, you know, now gets billions of dollars and, anyway, it reminds me of a movie, going back to another movie. Sorry, everybody. If you never saw a movie called Being There, starring, Peter Sellers, Being There. It is a fantastic movie about a gardener who gets, his name's Chance the Gardener, and he works for this guy for his whole life and never really left the property. So he doesn't really know how the real world works.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow he gets, you got to watch it. It's hard to explain.
Do you want me to read you the synopsis?
Please. It's a fantastic movie.
Simple-minded Chance, a gardener. Simple-minded isn't a polite way of.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Right.
Gardener who has resided in Washington, D.C. townhouse with a wealthy employer for his entire life, educated only by television, is forced to vacate his home when his boss dies.
You know what? It's interesting to watch this movie now because it becomes, he's only educated by television, so he goes out into the real world. And he just starts saying things that he's learned from TV.
Yeah.
And people are so fascinated that he becomes like the president. Doesn't he become like the president or something? Like, because people are so, everyone's so dumb that they're just hearing him say, he doesn't know to be bad. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's a fascinating movie. Should definitely check it out if you have not seen Being There. It's a great, I don't want to ruin the ending, but it's got a fascinating ending. Anyway, what the hell were we talking about?
Hermes, we were talking about.
Yeah. So back to, that's basically the story. He's going to do his best to adopt his 51-year-old gardener and give him $11 billion. God bless him. I hope it all works out for everybody. And, you know, that'd be great.
There is a, they're saying there might be a potential legal battle because he had previously committed his fortune to the Isocrates Foundation.
Yeah.
And attempts to restrict his pledge might trigger a fierce legal battle akin to past family feuds. So
I don't own any Hermes. I don't have anything Hermes.
Weren't they the ones that got in a lot of trouble for bondage and kids?
No,
and
that was Balenciaga.
Balenciaga, I'm sorry.
I think they're all owned by the same, what they call fashion house. Aren't they all under the same? I think they are kind of all under the same umbrella, as far as I know.
Yeah.
I don't know. You start getting into that real fancy world of high fashion. Another world I'm kind of a bit fascinated by.
Yeah.
Not unlike Studio 54.
Mm-hmm.
You have a little Studio 54 facts up?
Yeah, let me grab some for
you. When did it begin? Sorry to go back to Studio 54, everybody, but I believe that it had a pretty short-lived life.
Yeah.
I mean, I started in... And when did it begin? What's the year? It's got to be what?
The nightclub, April 26, 1977.
That's it, 77.
And it would close less than 3 years later on February 4th, 1980.
Yeah, so it was a short-lived world, but it was so iconic for everybody. I mean, it's like the reference we all use for anything, you know, that deals with like fun and and just, you know, That crazy, sexed up, wild time. You said you had some interesting facts about it.
Sorry,
we're dedicating this episode solely to Studio 54, just because I listened to Donna Summer on the way back from dropping off my daughter.
To celebrate New Year's Eve in the late 1970s, event planner Robert Isabel trucked in 4 tons of glitter.
My worst nightmare.
Yeah, four
oh my
tons.
God, I would die. I feel like my daughter, every time we do anything, it's 4 tons of glitter. It's every, just... That 4 tons of glitter is probably still somewhere on 54th Street in New York because it never goes away.
Mm-hmm.
It just sticks to everything. I would have killed that guy.
Yeah.
If I was the owner of Studio 54, I would have killed that guy if he brought it to...
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Poor Bianca Jagger must have been covered in glitter for weeks.
Covered in glitter. One of the stories is Bianca Jagger and the White Horse.
Oh, very famous story.
Of course, it's a White Horse. Here's a fun one. The night they sold nothing but fruit juice and soda...
Why?
So it says here that instead of getting a liquor license, they would get daily liquor catering licenses. So they would get a daily liquor license.
And but they didn't get it, so they had to serve fruit juice and
soda.
Had to sit there and drink a tab.
Yep.
Oh, that's no fun.
Andy Warhol's birthday party.
He was a big one there.
That was a big one there. Gave him a garbage pail stuffed with cash.
For his birthday?
That's what they gave
him.
When fashion fell from the sky, the nightclub was known for dropping things from a net on the ceiling, balloons, sometimes glitter, but on the least one occasion, they contained gift boxes that held pricey goodies from all the different fashion houses.
Ooh, Hermes, perhaps. Ooh. Yeah. Ooh.
The night Disco Sally appeared.
Who dat?
Mingling amongst the likes of Warhol, Halston, and Jagger was a 77-year-old widow.
Oh, Disco Sally, yes, I remember
Sally
this
Lipman.
Woman.
Yeah,
yeah, okay.
She
became a regular
after one of her young friends told her about it.
This stuff's all like so New York,
yeah.
Which is, I just love it. I love it. It's, I should really sit down and do a deep dive on that era. It's 1977 in New York.
Yeah.
I was out on Long Island, of course, but I was fascinated by everything about it. That was when... We had, of course, Studio 54 going at its height.
Mm-hmm.
We had, like, the Son of Sam, the killer, out shooting everybody, David Berkowitz. We had the Yankees were just crazy. They were, like, fighting in the dugout, but they were also winning. There was a blackout that put it basically...
Yeah. The whole city.
The entire city was without power. There was looting. There was... I mean, it was just off the wall.
Yeah.
Whoever, somebody, Spike Lee, Martin Scorsese, one of you famed New York directors needs to do a full on. I know there's been several done, but not as good as they should be.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody needs to do a full 10-part series on 1977 in New York.
Yeah.
It was the greatest.
Two more for you.
Go ahead.
Milton Bradley in 1978.
The game guy?
Yep. Had a launch party for their new game, Simon.
Oh, that was the one you pressed and beep, beep, yeah, beep, beep. Oh, God, you know, I used to sequence? Love that game. Yeah. Yes, Simon.
They
yeah.
launched it there. They had a 4-foot model designed and hung it over the dance floor.
Oh, my God, how fun.
And then the final one on this list is the raid that eventually closed the club after Steve Rebell made a public statement.
Yeah, like
that,
tax evasion or something, yeah, right?
Only
yeah.
the mafia does better, he said publicly. When it came to money, the IRS took notice. The club had paid just $8,000 in taxes. On a raid on December 14, 78, feds found around $600,000 in garbage bags hidden in the building.
But they love putting that money in garbage bags. They just handed one to Andy yeah. Warhol for his birthday.
In addition to 300 Quaalude pills and at least a few ounces of cocaine, which...
What a place. All yeah. right, everyone. Well, enough about Studio 54. I could talk all day about it. Let's talk about the year that was, Alex.
Mm-hmm.
2023. Many people... We threw it out to our people. Like, who do you think is cover to covers? Time magazine just did Person of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, they gave it to Taylor Swift, and rightfully so. I mean, I don't think anyone's had a better year mm-hmm. than Taylor Swift.
Or more influential
Yeah, just
year.
Like everything yeah. about it. Still going with this Travis Kelce. And then the tour and the movie and just everything she touched turned to gold.
Mm-hmm.
And just, you got to give it to her. I don't think, you know, of course they always throw in, because it's Time Magazine, they got to throw in, what about Zelensky? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, like, yeah. nobody cares. All right, yeah. I see what okay. you're trying to do.
Yeah.
But it's got to be Taylor. Give us dumb Americans something, all mm-hmm. right? Don't make us look up Zelensky.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
So it went to Taylor Swift. But over here, cover to cover, we have, you know, different parameters on who we make our Person of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
I said yesterday on the Patreon episode that I believed our Person of the Year, just because we got, I believe, the most mileage out of it would be like a Dylan Mulvaney.
Mm-hmm.
Some people disagreed with me. They're like, I don't know. You got, some people said they want Baba Vanga.
I was thinking Baba Vanga.
A lot of people said, how is Baba Vanga not Person of the Year? And, you know, you could make a case.
Mm-hmm.
You could make a case for Baba Vanga to be Person of the Year. Dylan Mulvaney.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people said they'd like to see Rude Dudes.
Rude Dudes?
Do we have our Rude Dudes theme song at the ready? Thank you, Britt Savage. Here they come, the Rude
Dudes. So people of the year, Snake and the Dude.
2020, Snake and the Dude, 2024. We might really start this podcast just for fun. And next thing you know, we'd be playing Radio City Music Hall.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, some people say, "Why? How are the Rude Dudes not Person of the Year?"
Yeah.
Many people want Person of the Year to be the dad in my daughter's class.
Oh, the Dragon Slayer.
The Dragon Slayer. The dad who fought the dragon and also drowned out the trans scientist.
Yeah.
At two of his children's birthday parties.
Mm-hmm.
I would definitely make him Person of the Year, but I believe now he's on to me as a celebrity, and I think he might be listening to this podcast, so I would probably just stay away from that, you know, so I don't have any lawsuits or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have anybody you... Now, of course, people say, what about Britney? Of course, we talk more about Britney Spears than anything, but mm-hmm. yeah, that's a little obvious. And
yeah.
So we don't want to do Britney Spears. And then somebody said, what about Kelly Dodd? And I don't want to get him anymore. You know, that was already enough.
I think there might be something for the return of Jamie Foxx. You know, he was in the news all year.
And it still continues to be weird. Still continues to be strange, the whole thing, the whole Jamie Foxx thing. Yeah, we did talk of him. And then, like, story of the year, I've been looking at, you know, the stories of the year for 2023.
Oh, it's got to be Tom Sandoval.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
I was trying to remember.
Story of the year. I mean, as much as we don't really talk about that type of stuff,
mm-hmm.
the story of the year had to be that.
Tom Sandoval
with his, you know, with these girls that he was cheating with or mm-hmm. not. He was with one. Yeah. I don't even know who's who in all of this. And that's from Vanderpump Rules.
Yeah.
And was there a bigger story in this dumb world that we live in that one?
That was wildfire. And
now I wonder, now that it's all kind of over and settled down, like what was in it for all of them?
Mm-hmm.
Like, did Sandoval make money from it? Because, as you know,
maybe I'm wrong in saying this. I believe that some of this stuff is a little bit orchestrated for ratings. I could be wrong on this one, but it does feel that way. So anyway, it does feel a little orchestrated to me, like so the people over at Bravo or something orchestrated this to get ratings. And if they did, I believe it worked because it's all anybody talked about. Even people who weren't in that Bravo world, all of a sudden, I think my mom knows who Tom Sandoval is. Just it became everybody was interested in it. So I wonder if it worked for them. Like the girl who was involved, like there's two...
The cheater or the cheated?
Well, the cheated, I believe.
Didn't she go on
to be on Dancing with the Stars this season?
Yeah.
Is that the one who's on Dancing with the Stars? I know somebody from Vanderpump Rules on Dancing with the Stars.
No, I think not. Actually.
Okay.
Let me look.
I don't know who won Dancing with the Stars this year. They just announced the winner this week.
Mm-hmm.
Was it Barry Williams? If it wasn't Barry Williams, I don't care.
Okay.
Barry Williams kept dancing with he would open his shirt. Ooh. Shirt open. Didn't look too bad for... fucking 70 or whatever he is.
Would this be season 31? Do you want to know who won?
Who won?
Charlie D'Amelio.
Oh, the D'Amelio sisters. Yep. We talk. Those are the D'Amelios?
Uh-huh.
Was she on it? Oh, okay. Is Charlie D'Amelio one of the girls or is that the dad?
Oh, I'm sorry. That's season 31. That's last season.
Yeah, I didn't think. Okay, go ahead. Say it again.
Xochitl Gomez and Val Chimaroski.
Oh, who's Xochitl? What does she do? What does Xochitl Gomez do? Chimaroski is the professional dancer.
I can't even say her name. Let me figure out what she does. She is an American actress born in Los Angeles. She's known for Netflix comedy series Raven's Home, The Babysitter's Club. Kind of nothing. Doctor Strange. She got a Doctor Strange part.
Yeah, so there you go. All right.
She's an actress.
She won. Yeah, actress. Mm-hmm. And she won. Okay.
Yeah.
And then is the girl who's on it from Vanderpump Rules, is she the cheaty?
Let me see.
Maybe I'm wrong. So Ariana is the cheated, the one cheated on. She goes on to Dancing with the Stars. So they go, it's already working if it is, you know, like a whole plan that they have just for ratings.
Yeah.
So she's now a bigger deal than she was when it began. Tom Sandoval's selling out whatever he does, like a dumb cover band or some shit, sells like merch, and he's killing it, I'm sure.
Yeah, he's got that
so it's working for him. Yeah. He's on one of those shows, Stars on Mars, or one of these dumb Navy SEAL show. Whatever. Okay. I saw some clip of the girl. Who's the one we used to talk about? Her bows in her hair. Now she's a lesbian and she had her...
JoJo Siwa?
JoJo Siwa. Mm-hmm. She was carrying the guy on her back. This little Tom Sandoval. What is he? 112 pounds? 5'4"? I mean, she threw the guy over her shoulder and carried him through the desert in some dumb reality show called Navy SEALs or something. And so that's fun.
Special Forces. Oh, my God.
Yeah, Special Forces. That's what it was. Anyway, JoJo Siwa carried the little guy.
Yeah.
And then the other girl is Rachel?
Raquel Levies.
Raquel Levies. Okay.
I believe that's
right. And she, of course, you know, I'm sure she's doing fine.
She's doing fine.
She went. She said she checked into a mental health facility, which, you know, they have to say that, of course.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's got to be story of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of, like, Israel and Palestine.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, there's other stories too, but you get not for this show.
Yeah. You know what we're doing.
Now, what, you know, Kylie, and you want to hear some just celebrity news? Just going to rattle off some celebrity news.
Yeah.
Kylie and Timothée Chalamet.
Mm-hmm.
Why are they not red carpet official?
I don't know.
You know, are they a thing? Are they not a thing? Because he's got a big movie out.
I think
it's opened. It's called Willy Wonka. Mm-hmm. It's getting good reviews. People say it's pretty decent. But I don't know. I didn't see that they were on the red carpets. They're not as public as Travis and Kelsey.
Yeah.
I always say Travis and Kelsey, but you know what I mean.
Swelsey?
Yes. So I don't know what the deal is. Selena Gomez has a new boyfriend.
Mm.
You know her? Selena
I
Gomez?
Know her.
Benny Blanco.
He's a musician.
Anybody's guess.
He's a musician.
Oh, you say magician or musician? I think he's a magician. I think you're right the first time. But Kylie went to the premiere of Chalamet's Wonka. Mm-hmm. She snuck in the back.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why they're like, why are you just be red carpet official for all of us? We need red carpet official here in America. We can't just be hearing the rumors.
Mm-hmm.
So those are all fun Hollywood stories.
We had Danny Masters this year. We had
Danny Masters.
Majors. What's a
That's right. The Danny Masters.
Yes.
It was a big one.
It's a big one.
Just in prison now. Mm-hmm. It's just gone.
Gone.
Wow, that's rough. Tough year for Danny Masterson.
Mm-hmm.
Demi Lovato, new boyfriend.
Okay.
You know, so remember there, she, I don't know if that was this year or last year, Demi Lovato had been through it all.
Yeah.
She was they, them.
She was them-y.
Then she was them-y. Then she was back to regular. Then mm-hmm. she was lesbian. Then she was, you know, straight.
And she saw aliens.
She saw aliens at one point. She was seeing a lot of things. She saw the, she was upset at a yogurt place because they didn't have
mm-hmm.
enough options, flavors or some crazy shit.
Yeah.
So she was going through it,
mm-hmm.
And they worked it out seemingly, the whatever meds she's on.
Yeah.
They got the dosage right. And mm-hmm. she seems to be okay now. Anyway, she's back in business, got a new boyfriend. And his name's Jutes. That's her new boyfriend, Jutes. J-U-T-S.
Yeah.
Jutes? Maybe it's Jutes.
Maybe.
I don't know. But anyway, it says all about Demi Lovato's new boyfriend.
Who was the guy she did the podcast with? What was his name?
Alok.
She has a lot of...
I know. That was the fourth dimension.
Yeah.
You're talking about the fourth dimension with Demi Lovato? Another podcast that lasted 3 weeks.
3 weeks.
I don't think it made it.
Because
people realize it's actually work. You have to actually put some work in. Yeah, she was going to have Alok, who was this... I follow him on Instagram.
Yeah.
That's out there doing some stand-up comedy from time to time. Mm-hmm. Why not? Put on a dress, get out there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mind Alok. I actually like, I listen to some of the things he says. He's very, I don't know what Alok's pronouns are, but they could, I'm going to say it's, I don't think, the funny thing, interesting, not, whatever it is,
yeah,
interesting and funny, he doesn't care about pronouns. That's kind of his campaign. He's like, forget pronouns, everybody. Just have peace and love in the world. And who can't agree with that? I agree with that. I would rather life be peaceful and lovely than not.
Yes.
You know, what do you think about this Olivia Rodrigo?
I like her.
So do I.
Yeah.
I like her music. Mm-hmm. I heard a song.
Which one?
One song.
I'm into it.
I don't know. I heard it on the regular radio.
Okay. Terrestrial.
When you rent cars. You know, I'm not going to spring for the Spotify or whatever. No, they say you can get Sirius for $9.95 more. I'm like, I'm in this car for 3 hours.
Yeah.
I can handle regular mm-hmm. Christian radio, whatever you get in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
A lot of Christian bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of like, it's a lot of news. Like you'll come across like a news channel
mm-hmm.
and it's not a regular news channel. It's not telling, it's just... like some guy, whoever it may be, I'm not exactly sure who they are, who's trying to scare the shit out of old people.
Yeah.
Because at this point, I mean, anyone who's listening terrestrial radio from their home is probably 80.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a news guy in every small town market who just goes, they're coming. You know who's coming in your front door? Alok.
Alok.
Got a big old shoes on, got to mm-hmm. kick through your front door with their heels and come in and get your daughter yep. and take away her swim trophies.
Yep.
And
trans immigrants will kill you.
They're coming for you. They're coming to get you.
Yes.
They're going to take away all your mm-hmm. all your snack cakes and the shit you love.
And then they sell like bunkers.
Right.
Rice buckets for your bunker.
You're joking, but
I know.
I just listened to it on the way from Long Island to Rhode Island. Mm-hmm. I was in the middle of, it's about a 3 hour drive. And in wherever I was, something came up and this guy was, he was stirring it up.
Mm-hmm.
He was gloom and doom and just, they are coming for you. Get your guns, get your God, keep your God and your guns.
Mm-hmm.
And anything that comes on that front lawn, you shoot it.
You shoot it. Did you see the other day?
Santa Claus, if Santa Claus was real, Santa Claus would last 30 seconds mm-hmm. in America.
Yeah.
Santa Claus would land at the first house and he'd be shot to death. Every reindeer dead. It'd be a mm-hmm. bloodbath.
Yeah.
And they came on my front lawn. It was Santa Claus. I don't care who it was.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care who it was. I thought it was Alok.
Yeah.
I couldn't see. It was mm-hmm. fucking dark outside. I shot it. I mean, all these movies that we watch, you know, like E.T.
Mm-hmm.
E.T. would have lasted, if you made E.T. now, it would have lasted 22 seconds. E.T. shows up in the backyard. Hello. Stupid thing. What was it? I don't know. I think it was a little Mexican. It was an alien. You killed it. Oh, well, I don't care. Illegal alien, probably get that damn thing out of here. Cover it, put it, dig a hole, put it in for it so it's to stink up the fucking yard. I don't need this stupid thing. I mean, all of this stuff, you know. You see, it's a great movie called Starman starring Jeff Bridges.
Mm-hmm.
He shot in 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Aliens don't. That's probably why they don't come. You guys are dying for aliens. Same people who shoot everything also want the aliens to come. So stop shooting them. And then maybe they're going, all right, I'll come down. I'm not going to land in that backyard.
They'll
shoot me in 2 seconds.
Crazy.
Yeah. I told my wife I want to get a gun to shoot things. She was like, oh, you crazy. You'd shoot yourself.
I could show you how to use it.
I'm good. I think I've gone. I've never even seen a gun.
Let's go shooting.
No.
When you're in Vegas for a week.
Because then I would become one of those weirdos who gets obsessed with it.
It's fun.
Yeah.
That's
the problem.
Yeah.
I know. But then it's going to be fun, and I'm going to wind up, walking into a mall or something. I can't do it.
When you're in Vegas, can we go shooting?
Maybe.
All right.
Maybe. We'll
go in the desert so nobody sees you.
Mm-hmm.
You can keep your big sunglasses on.
Thank you. Okay. What a gradient?
Yeah, your gradient.
Yeah. Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah, I don't want to. I got to tell you, I like this Kylie Jenner.
Mm-hmm.
She's good looking.
Yeah.
Kylie Jenner. She looks like a nice person that you'd like to roll around with. You know what mm-hmm. I mean?
No.
No, you don't think so?
Roll around with?
Yeah, just like you all said, next thing you know, you're rolling around.
Oh, yeah.
She got like, I feel like she has like soft skin. She's not washing her face with Ivory soap.
Nope.
You know what I'm saying? She's got a whole routine. And I think I've said it before on this podcast. Say what you want about plastic surgery or whatever the people are doing these days. But boy, that girl did it right. I've never seen anyone do it as good. Most people look a little strange. A lot of people saying Barry Manilow on his special last night looked a little strange.
It's a little
strange.
Can
barely open his mouth. And, you know, whatever. Barry's got to do what Barry's got to do to keep it all going.
Mm-hmm.
And that's always the strange thing about, especially when guys do it. Nobody looks 27 anymore.
No.
You know, it's not like, whoa, the years had shaved off you.
Mm-hmm.
I can't even, I'm looking at you now and you look 27. He's like, I know, but I'm 80. I'm like, you still look 80, but you just look like your face has been burned.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's what the look you were going for, but it doesn't look good. You don't look 27.
No.
But forever as Kylie did, and all the Kardashians for that matter, every one of them, whoever their guy is,
mm-hmm.
they look incredible.
I think they change
like Kim
it.
Kardashian has never looked better, and she's gone through it. The big ass and all that is gone.
Mm-hmm.
She's now like this kind of slim. They literally took the ass out.
Yeah.
What they done and made it a paperweight or holding up books in her house or something. But it's like now like a little ad, little, just the whole thing is like littler. And the same with Kylie and Kendall seems to be au naturel from what I know. I don't know anything.
Mm-hmm.
But, and then, you know, then Courtney, of course, she had further to go, but she did good too. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. She's still good too. But more power to them for what they've done, because I don't think they would be who they are today had they looked the way they did,
mm-hmm.
you know, how we all knew. Not that they were, they're all attractive people. They're of attractive people. You know, Bruce Jenner is her dad, right? Kylie's dad's, well, you know what I mean. Bruce at the time.
Yeah.
And, Ken, what the hell is this?
Kendall and Kylie?
No. Bruce is Bruce.
Bruce's name?
Fuck.
Caitlin.
I mean, could you imagine this conversation 20 years ago? Wait a minute. Who's what? Now Bruce is now Kylie.
No, Bruce is Caitlin.
Caitlin, right. And Kendall and Kylie are the kids of him and Chris.
Caitlin and Chris and Kendall and Kylie. Yes.
And they're, you know, good looking.
He even changed his name to one of their, like, Kim, what? Caitlin, Chris. Like,
I know, but he didn't use the K.
Yeah,
that was kind of a diss. He didn't get invited to the party. I see the Christmas party. I have a very famous Kardashian Christmas party, and I think uh-huh. that he's out. I don't think they even talk to him anymore.
They share children.
I know. I think like the children are just like, oh, because he's not only is he the whole, you know, whatever, but he's also, I think, a bit of a lunatic as far as like mm-hmm. politics go and stuff. And eventually that gets old. You know, you just don't want that at the party. You know what I mean?
I do know.
What about the Golden Globe nominations? We didn't even talk about those. They were yesterday.
Okay.
Golden Globe nominations. Barbie, of course, got nominated for a ton.
Mm-hmm.
Barbie and Oppenheimer were the big winners, and or not winners, at least nominees.
Yeah.
And here we go. Golden Globes. They're going to be back. People are going to, you know, people still care about award shows. Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe.
It's the same exact people who get nominated every year. Although this year, I got to say, there are a few people, one of your best picture nominees,
mm-hmm.
best picture nominees, drama. Golden Globes breaks it up into several categories. And for what we all remember, Golden Globes are a weird one where they kind of, it's the Hollywood foreign press. So there, Jared Carmichael will be hosting. That's mm-hmm. a pretty good. I like Gerard. I think that's going to be good. You know, because he came out as gay and he's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
No, but he's of what you need.
Yeah,
black guy, maybe mm-hmm. gay, used to be straight. I think I don't mm-hmm. know. You know, he could check all the boxes.
Yeah,
perfect and a funny guy.
He slid it in there too. He didn't make a big thing about it. He just.
Yeah, just like on a special, right? He just kind of announced it.
He was working on it during, like, once the improv reopened from COVID. Yeah. And he literally, like, sat on a chair.
Yeah.
It was like the first time he said special.
Yeah, I like him.
Yeah.
I don't believe he's gay. I think he just did it for press. Well, listen, just kidding. Oppenheimer, best mm-hmm. motion picture. Killers of the Flower Moon. That's Scorsese.
It's supposed to be great.
DiCaprio. Yeah, it's 3.5 hours long. My mother went, oh, Christopher had to pee. Maestro. That's the Bradley Cooper got in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Juno's. Remember they said he did.
Yeah, he did Jew face.
Jew face. He did Jew.
They said he was appropriating Jewish face.
You can't do that, Alex.
You can't.
We're on day. Don't you say it. Not
I can't
in this
believe
house.
We're allowed to say that. Jew, just the term.
You're not.
But that's they.
To stop it.
They put it
don't
in the
say
headlines.
It again. You look too much like a Nazi to say that
oh,
stuff.
Oh, I'm sorry.
and we are currently in this household. We are in Hanukkah. We're mm-hmm. on day six, I believe. So we do a whole thing.
Yeah.
We sing and dance in there.
Mm-hmm.
Beckett gets a gift. And that, you know, and I try to keep up. I don't know what I'm doing, but my wife sings the song. Come on, talk. And it's fun.
Yeah.
I enjoy it. It's a nice little thing
mm-hmm.
we do. And, you know, I don't know anything. I'm not Jewish. So I blew out, you know, they lit the candles. Then they walk off. My wife and my daughter, and I blew them out. And my wife's like, what are you doing? I don't know. I killed some like Jewish gods or something. I was like, why did I? I said, I don't want the candles burning in the middle of the, there's nobody in the room.
Burn the house down.
That's
yeah.
what I say. You know, she goes, you can't blow them out. It's going to release
they are
the demons.
Candles.
I was like,
yeah.
I think they already did. Yeah. The demons have been released. I had nothing to do. Maybe I, you know.
Have you been to an airport lately?
Yeah,
it's not my fault.
Exactly. Yeah. Tube of demons.
Yep.
Past Lives, The Zone of Interest, and Anatomy of a Fall. This is the problem with award shows now. Mm-hmm. They just, nobody, you think anyone's going to watch? I hope The Zone of Interest wins. Not three people saw The Zone of Interest. Best Picture, Musical, Comedy, Barbie, Poor Things, American Fiction, The Holdovers, May, December, and Air. I saw Air. I loved it. I saw Barbie. I'm dying to see The Holdovers, Paul Giamatti. That's probably going to be one I watch tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Best actor? Wait, what's this? Yeah. Oh, director. Bradley Cooper, Greta Gerwig, and on. Scorsese. Best screenplay, who cares? You get the idea. Same ones that are nominated for Best Picture. Best performance by an actor. You ready for this one, Alex?
Yep.
Bradley Cooper, of course, you gotta. Because here's what the Golden Globes does. They want to get these people to come.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you gotta get Bradley Cooper to be on the red carpet. Puts on a nice outfit. Everybody wants to see him. Mm-hmm. So you gotta nominate him. Otherwise, he's not coming. So, I mean, I hear the movie's okay. I hear it's not the greatest. So he's of course nominated for Maestro.
Mm-hmm.
Cillian Murphy for Oppenheimer, DiCaprio. See, you want him to come.
You do.
And of course, you want Colman Domingo to be there.
Who's he?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. He's nominated. Andrew Scott. You know, I'm not going to do a reward show without Andrew Scott.
Mm-mm.
What about Barry Keoghan?
Keegan, I think
he's there. Saltburn.
I think you're less likely to get your Coopers, Murphys, DiCaprios just by nominating the others in the same.
Well, if you don't get Cooper, Murphy, and DiCaprio, we got a problem.
Yeah,
you got to get those guys. Mm-hmm. The ratings will plummet if you just have Colman Domingo there.
Yeah.
How about you want to hear actress?
Mm-hmm.
Lily Gladstone. She's from *Killers of the Flower Moon*. Carrie Mulligan, mm-hmm. Maestro. She's good. You know, she's married to the guy from. You know who she's married to?
Who?
Carrie Mulligan?
Is that your way of telling me to look it up?
No, I'm going to tell you who okay. it is. I can just think of the band. A cool band. Play fiddles and shit. You know?
Oh, like Mumford and Sons?
Mumford and Sons. That's okay. who she's married to. Okay. The lead singer of Mumford and Sons. Sandra
Marcus
Holler.
Marcus
Mumford. Annette Bening. Naiad. I like Annette Bening. Annette Bening and Jodie Foster
mm-hmm.
are in that Naiad. It's about the swimmer.
Okay.
On Netflix. I'd watch this movie. I think I'd be interested in it. Looking at it, like, on paper, I'm like, why would I be interested in a movie with these two, Annette Bening and I saw the clip, and, it, you know, both Jodie Foster and Annette Bening look like they washed their face with Ivory Soap.
Ivory Soap.
God. All right, you get to, come on, everybody. Let's have some fun. Oh, you know who got nominated for The Color Purple? Fantasia Barrino.
Okay.
We talked about this a few weeks ago. She was an American Idol. So people had corrected me. I said she didn't win. She actually did win.
Oh.
She won American Idol. But it's amazing to me that this American Idol has launched, say what you want about American Idol, but it's crazy the careers they've launched.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this will be, she's going to get nominated for an Oscar as well.
Yeah.
This will be the second, or maybe third, like American Idol person that is nominated or won an Oscar. That's craziness. And beyond, forget all the Kelly Clarkson doing what she's doing and everybody else doing what they're doing.
Chris Daughtry.
Exactly. Daughtry's killing it. Jennifer Lawrence got nominated for No Hard Feelings.
Which, honestly, good. I mean, you'd said it and I watched it. Better than...
It was a great movie.
It was
a fun movie. I mean, it's, you know what? Especially like for a Netflix movie, I got to say, I'm all about it. I felt bad that we shit on it when it first came out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but that's what we like to do over here. We like no facts or anything, but we just make our opinions.
Mm-hmm.
But Jennifer Lawrence in No Hard Feelings is nominated. Good for her. Natalie Portman, May, December. I hope if I could sit through that. I'll do my best. That's a director. Hollywood loves this guy, this director of No Hard Feelings. He's nominated for an Oscar every year for every movie he's ever done. And I have to say, Todd Haynes is his name.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't get Todd Haynes movies. I'm sorry. I try. And I'm a cinema guy.
Mm-hmm.
Todd Haynes just does not do it for me. I know I'm supposed to say Todd Haynes is the greatest director because I want to sit in coffee houses in Hollywood and be accepted by people, but he just does not do it for me. I'm sorry. I think he's overrated and he'll bore the shit out of you. You know who's a better director? And I'm not kidding when I say this. Ben Affleck.
Ooh.
Better director, made better movies. How do you like that? I said it.
Ben Affleck,
I like to watch. I like that guy looking angry every time I see him walking in anywhere with Jennifer Lopez.
Mm-hmm.
That's the type of guy I want to see. Emma Stone nominated. I like her. I like Emma Stone. I know some people don't. Thumbs up. Like her a lot.
It's interesting to me that musical or comedy motion picture versus the regular, just the drama motion picture. I mean, everyone says comedy's dead, but you have way bigger stars being nominated for comedies and no one you've ever even heard of in a lot of the motion pictures.
I know. You see who's nominated for musical comedy for actor?
Who?
And this is who. You want a fun Golden Globes? Give this guy a couple drinks and let it go. Nicolas Cage is nominated.
I thought you were going to say Joaquin Phoenix.
Well, him too. Oh, let him. You know what? Have the two of them host.
Hammered hosting.
Oh, you would have the event of the season. You let Nicolas Cage and Joaquin Phoenix host the show.
Yeah.
Oh, it'd be amazing.
Yeah.
So Nicolas Cage.
He's an odd one, huh?
Oh, man.
I sold him sunglasses once.
Cage?
Yeah.
Yeah.
In
Las Vegas. Yeah. That's what he won his Oscar for, Las Vegas.
And he patchy head, long hair. Very patchy in the back. Pulls it out himself.
Yeah,
patchy.
I know.
he goes crazy sometimes.
Does he ever? Yes. It's usually on screen.
Yeah.
So I'm excited about that one. Mm-hmm. Nicolas Cage. Timothy Chalamet.
He'll show up, too. He's got nothing going on.
Everybody wants him to show up.
Yeah.
Paul Giamatti, Joaquin, I love Paul. I mean, I like all these guys. Jeffrey Wright, I love too. Willem Dafoe nominated. De Niro nominated. You know, he's gonna be angry, mad at the world. He won't show up. No way in hell.
The supporting actor.
Ruffalo got nominated.
The supporting actor category is all leading men.
I know. Yeah, that's what we do these days. Yeah. You just take the check. All right. And then, of course, they do TV over there too. And, it's all the shows that we think are going to get nominated and everybody you think and blah, 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 blah. There we go. We could sit. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot of categories. We don't have the time for all that. I'd like to just, before we leave, I'd like to say congratulations to, Saturday Night Live. Mm-hmm. I have to say that.
Oh, yeah.
First of all. A couple of weeks ago, it was hosted by my friend Nate Bergazzi, who I love. I think, for my money, he's the funniest comedian working today. I just think he is so good. I'm jealous of him and how good he is
mm-hmm.
at, like, I don't want to say clean comedy because it almost cheapens what he does. He just does. It's just great.
It's just he does great comedy that happens to be clean.
I know.
Yeah.
And he goes on Saturday Night Live, and most people are like, well, Nate Bargatze, is he? He's just a comedian. Like this, Saturday Night Live is for bigger people. Mm-hmm. But God, he was so good. The sketches were good. Everything about it was great. So so that time I was like, you know what? Saturday Night Live's pretty good. I know people hate it because there was the era there where, you know, they were doing too much anti-Trump shit, mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah. And I agree with them. I mean, not because for Trump or whoever else, but just political stuff alone, it's just too much sometimes. Yeah. It's like, all right, I got it. You know, I got one or two jokes here or there, but you don't got to keep the wall-to-wall mm-hmm. political humor. And which I think Saturday Night Live has kind of stopped a little bit. Yeah, they probably got the memo.
They overlook so many fun things
exactly.
in culture.
And I think they do it over on like even the Colberts and the late mm-hmm. night guys too. And even they're stopping a little bit too, because I think everybody's a little just, all right, we got it.
Mm-hmm.
But now this week was Olivia Rodrigo and the guy from Girls who they said was ugly. We talked about it last week. Adam Driver hosting.
Mm-hmm.
And
Olivia Rodrigo.
And Olivia Rodrigo, musical okay. guest. And I got to say, I was crying laughing at some of the sketches. And I never laugh like that. There was a sketch about going back home for the holidays and calling like, you know, like one of the film sketches that they mm-hmm. do. And like calling up an old friend, like from the neighborhood. Adam Driver played that, the old friend. And Mikey Day played the guy who's, he walks into the house and you're like, who's this? You know, who's this? The wife. Mm-hmm. He goes, oh, it's my old friend. I haven't seen him in years. She goes, you should call him while you're in town. And it is so funny, this sketch, if you have not seen it, about like going back to your hometown and you're trying to catch up with a friend who you haven't seen in 25 years. Mm-hmm. And now they're a complete, like, you know, gun loving, trumped out lunatic.
Yeah.
And it's, God, it was so funny. I thought that sketch, I thought Adam Driver, and I want to say this, the two guys who do the news right now, of
Che.
Course, Che, Michael Che and
Jost,
and,
is he still
and Colin Jost,
yeah.
are so good mm-hmm. that whatever, how long that bit takes, however long the news takes, 15 minutes or whatever it takes on the show, is so good. Colin Jost is fucking hilarious. Mm-hmm. So that's it. I just wanted to give a little bit of a compliment to what they're doing at Saturday Night Live, because I know it gets hammered on that show from, because people, you know, whatever. But for what they do, as a guy who writes comedy and knows comedy, to come up with an hour and a half of material
mm-hmm.
from what I've heard, they basically start from scratch on Monday and have a show by Saturday
mm-hmm.
is just amazing. And to have two or three good sketches in that hour and a half is unbelievable. And the fact that they sometimes have more, and I've never seen the news be bad. It's mm-hmm. always good. So congratulations to the people over at Saturday Night Live, because I've actually watched several episodes and I got some really good laughs
out of it. They got you back.
Yeah. So thank you very much to Saturday Night Live. Big fan of the new cast. Big fan of a lot of cast members of, you know, of that new cast.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what Lorne Michaels is still over there, I guess. And
yeah, I think so.
I mean, I know he is, but I don't know how hands-on he is from what I've heard. I mean, he's very hands-on still.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got to be 80 something years old. So I'm a big fan of Saturday Night Live. All right. That's it. What do we got to get out of here on, Alex? We'll do much more breaking down of the year and on and on and on. But, we got to go live our lives. Frangiola.fun has all new 2024 dates coming up. We're going to start putting them all on there real soon. But I think the Las Vegas and the Fort Worth, Texas are already on.
Mm-hmm.
So go get those. Fort Worth, Texas is in January. That's when I'm back at it. Thank you all who came to the shows this year. We had a blast. So much fun. All right. What do we got to get out of here on?
I'll give you from the new Hunger Games.
Ooh.
This is the Olivia Rodrigo's newest hit.
Oh,
called
here
Can't
we go.
Catch Me Now. Is this the one you think you heard? Didn't you say you heard a new
one? I don't
one?
Know. Mm. I don't know what I heard. There's blood on the side of the mountain. Squirt on the side of the mountain? What'd
blood.
You say?
Blood on
oh,
the
blood. I thought you said squirt. Shadows of us are still dancing. I like this. I like what she does.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a whisper. I'm gonna do cover to cover like this now.
Dylan Mulvaney's Person of the Year.
Sounds like you're Caitlin.
As far as I'm concerned. This is nice.
I think it's about to pick up.
Yeah, I'm sure. Who's in this Hunger Games? That troublemaker actress who was in West Side Story. She was in West Side Story. She causes trouble. They don't want her at the award shows because she's mm-hmm. she's a loud mouth.
Yeah.
And now if this gal could just sit there and be good looking, it'd be great. But she chats too much. She's always talking and always mouthing off about something.
What is her name? She gets a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
Big star. I like this. But of course the song I heard was like in the Taylor Swift vein of, that I can't believe that guy left me, fuck him, one of those deals.
Mm-hmm.
It's real good.
It's pretty new, you think?
I think it's a new hit off the new album.
Okay, let's try this one. Vampire, Olivia Rodrigo.
I think this was it.
This might be it?
This is it. This is what she sang on Saturday Night Live. She did a whole production on Saturday Night Live, like crawling around on a piano and stuff.
Mm.
How old? I'm not supposed to like her, right? How old is she? She's above. I can. To give the satisfaction asking how you're doing now. Oh my God, this is good. This is the one I heard. I'm driving through Connecticut on my way to Rhode Island, crying, listening to this one.
Mm-hmm.
Eating my eating my cheese curds or whatever I bought at Sheets. She is it Sheets?
Sheets. What was the other one we went to?
Well, we go to all.
The barn door or something.
Yeah, we knock
shit.
Them all out.
Yeah. 'Cause I've made some real big mistakes,
but you make the worst. Oh, if you're a 14-year-old girl, this has got to be talking
your
right
anthem.
To you,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, this is just great. How old is she? I need to know if I could make comments about her looks.
It will not. Google's saying no, because they won't even pull her age up.
Oh. So don't make comments. I'm not gonna say anything bad. I'm saying she's a good-looking lady, but she's 22, right? Or
yeah, somewhere
32. Oh, dirty!
Fame
Sorry,
fucker.
Everybody. Who's a fan? Me? She called. I'm not a fame fucker. Who's this guy she's talking about? Usually, people find out who it is. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Jake Gyllenhaal or something.
Yeah.
Who fucked her over? Is it somebody good? Probably some Disney star, some effeminate Disney star.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't like her.
See who it's about.
Does it say?
Who is Olivia Rodrigo's vampire about?
Oh, I'd like it if it was just like some guy who works for FedEx,
Mm-hmm. The rock opera-inspired track serves as the lead single. 20-year-old pop star's relationship with someone she likens to a bloodsucker and a fame fucker.
Ooh. That's half my friends. Wow. So she's only 20, so yeah, I can't say things about her. She's a young kid. Good for her. I'm a fan.
They think it's about two men who are both significantly older than her. She dated around for 6 months.
This song better not be about me. I'll be furious. I am not a fame fucker.
Producer Adam Faze and DJ Zach Bia. That's who they think these are both about.
Oh,
she dated one when
good.
She was 18, one 19.
You want it to be like DiCaprio or somebody like that,
you know?
Wouldn't it be funny if it's about Barry Manilow? What? I just wanted to end it the way we began it. You see what mm-hmm. I was doing there to make it a neat little package. Big fan of this Olivia Rodrigo. Okay, everybody, bye-bye. Don't be a vampire.